Well, hello, my friends, and good Wednesday morning to you. Thank you so much for being with us today. My name is Roger. Behind the scenes is my wife, Angie, and together we're the Barnabas Bridge. On our morning conversations this week, we've been talking about out in the margins. And what we're talking about there is that the life has the main text, the main story, and that is the story that God is writing. And that sometimes we're in the margin, out in the margins, not in the main story. Sometimes we feel like we're right in the main story. But I think probably for most of us, we're a little bit on both of those, depending on where we're at in life. But I think that God wants us to shake that off and really get the understanding that because of Jesus Christ, we are in the main story, and we have a vitally important part of how God wants that to play out through us. To help us to get along today, I want to tell you a story about someone who's just extremely important to Angie and I, someone that we love dearly. And a few months ago, she ran into a little bit of a problem and was injured, and now she's in a long-term care facility. Now, I'll tell you, one minute you're living life, and the next minute, everything is basically stripped away from you, and you're put in a place where you never wanted to be. And I think when she first got there, I as would be quite normal, she was a little thrown off and really had a difficult time trying to get her arms wrapped around what's next. But I'll tell you now, after several months, there has been one of the most dramatic, unbelievable, beautiful, fantastic, perfect changes in that woman's life that you just couldn't possibly imagine. You can see it in her face, from despair to really great contentment and happiness. And I think I know what the key is, and I want to tell you that our friend is a born-again believer. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ, but like all of us, she thought she was in the margins, but instantly she was out of the margins. But God is so kind and so good. I'll give you an example why I believe things have changed for her. When Angie and I go to visit, there's a fella usually parked in his wheelchair outside his room, his door. And he's largely non-conversant. And so when you walk by him, you would kind of think, oh, this poor fella, you know, I couldn't have a conversation with him. And so, you know, I don't think that that's putting him outside of the margins, but I imagine he felt like that. Feels like that as people come visiting and walk by him and he can't get out of his wheelchair and they're talking, but he can't join in that conversation. And so we were talking to our friend about him and she says this, "Aw, Larry, he's my friend." And I thought, what? This gal who's injured bad enough that she's probably in a wheelchair now, was reaching out to this fellow who really felt outside of the margin. And because of that, she felt like she was being involved and working and really spreading the love of Jesus Christ where she's at. And now the story continues to go with her, and we're hearing now that she's sticking up for the other residents and trying to help their lives be better. She's trying to help them in the lunchroom. She's trying to defend them when, if needed be. And she's doing all this work. And the more that seems like she's doing around her, the happier and more contented she is. Because she's no longer on the margin. She is part of the main story. And that is God working through her in the lives of these people who, by all of society's measurement, are most certainly not part of the main story and are certainly out on the margins and not part of anything that's important going on anymore. If we are both of these people at one time or another in our lives, and we most certainly were out in the margins at one time before Christ walked in, then most certainly it has to be our goal, if that's what Scripture tells us, to be just like our friend, who's reaching out to those who are, even though she might be disadvantaged at this time, she's found a group that is even further out and she's bringing them in. And so I think how we might get there is, first of all, believe that God has called us out of the margins through his son, Jesus Christ, into the main story. And then secondly, believe that the part that he has already designed for us to play from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 that I've invited you to read, and that we should take that role and live up to what he desires in our life. And so today in the encouragement, I guess I just want to read a couple passages that reinforce that and to tell us it's true. And this first one is that God has called us out of the margins. We were once the people in the hallway in our wheelchairs, unable to converse with him, unable to move without with him. But here's what God says in chapter 5 of Romans. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, we had nothing. We were thought we were a part of the story, but we found out that we were much less than that. We were out in the margins, and we were no longer walking in step with the world. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were out in the margins, Christ Jesus died for us and brought us into the main text. Since now we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation, through whom now we have been invited into the story, the greatest story ever told, the one where God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and that whosoever shall believe in him will never perish, but will have eternal life. That's what we've been given. That's what we've been called to, away from the darkness of our own sin into his wonderful light. Do you believe that? And if so, what should we do with that tremendous treasure that we know? Well, God says to tell the story over and over and over again to all of our friends who are in the hallway and are unable to speak up for themselves. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9 says this beautiful thing. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. I just can't imagine a more beautiful passage. Two passages that tells us the truth that we have been called out of the darkness. We have been brought in. And not only that, but we have a job to do. So if we believe in the Son from the Father, Scripture tells us we have life. And if we have been given such a tremendous, tremendous treasure, then how could we hold that in? How could we put that in our pockets and not share with all the people who are desperately in need of a good word today? My friends, I pray that as we go about our day, to all the people that we see, that we walk by, who are just dying to have someone speak to them, to call them a friend, to allow them to have dignity, to allow them to have hope in the treasure of Jesus Christ that we say that and know that we possess. Because it is him who is working through us and in us. And so it is our job then to clean off the lens of our spiritual glasses and get to work. So let's pray for that, folks, and we'll head out there. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much, first and foremost, for our salvation. You didn't have to do that, but you did, because you loved and you had mercy. You came to earth and you died on a cross for our sins, the ones that were so glaringly obvious to you, but hid away in the darkness of our lives. You brought them to the surface and said, that we're forgiven. So because of that, now, God, we have this tremendous story to tell. So on this day, as we all go about our business, give us the strength, give us the courage. Let us see the people who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care, my friends, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Hello, my friends, and good Thursday morning to you. Thank you so much for being with us today. My name is Roger, and behind the scenes is my wife, Angie, and together we make up the Barnabas Bridge. This week, we're talking about what I think is an important matter, and we're calling it Out in the Margins. The understanding is that as Christian people, what do we do because God has called us out of the margins and brought us into the main story, the main text of what he's writing in our day and age, in our environment, in our towns, in our jobs, in our families. What do we do with that in reaching people who are outside of the margins? How does that look like in our lives, and how should we present ourselves? Well, I'll tell you what, for a number of years now, Angie and I have just been blessed by going to a retreat center here in Nebraska. We've gone there multiple times, and it's just a really wonderful place that has God everywhere you turn. And so for us, it's just a real separation from the world and a time away. But at this retreat center, they've got on a hillside, kind of through some natural grasses, they've got a prayer walk. And it's really, for me, it's just always a moving, important time. When we go up there and we walk through it and we read the plaques and we pray and we kind of discuss what the writing is, and it's just a time to think about things and the world. And I think in this idea of out in the margins, how do we reach out in the margins, maybe this place is where it all started. Because in this plaques, each and every one of them has somebody, some prayer idea for a marginalized group of people in society. Whether it is women who have been abused, people who are dying alone, people who have addiction to drugs, people who have just all kinds of these worldly problems. And this prayer walk is inviting you to consider them. You, me, who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And if nothing else, pray for them. And pray that God intervenes in their lives, doing our part to consider them and to count them not as lost, but maybe just off track as we once were. Well, we've been going there for years, and it's always a moving time, but I'll have to tell you a story that the first time that I went there, that prayer walk was extremely convicting for me. Because, you know, I was kind of a hardliner when it came to people who were off track. Let's use the drug addiction people. I had this idea that people really needed to pick up themselves off the ground and get on track and get moving. I had really very little compassion for people who were outside of the margins, who I considered had made their own mess, and now they could lie in it. But I'll tell you, that hard stance, that critical opinion for others, isn't at all what God is about. And it is not, there's no way that stance of accusations and really judgment is ever going to reach those people and invite them into the story, just as God did for me. This week we've talked about Pharisees being the cool kids or whatever. Maybe that's who I was. But I'll tell you what, a number of times now, many times, I've walked that prayer walk. And God has helped me see through the facade of myself and really see how needy I was and am in so many different ways. And if I know him as my Lord and Savior, then how could I possibly look down my spiritual nose at those who don't and say they just need to get it together? Well, I think this is backed up in Scripture on many, many, many occasions, but I want to share with you a story right out of the pages of history. And it's in Acts chapter 26, and we're going to begin around verse 12 or so. And this is the story about the Apostle Paul. And Paul had been working for the Lord for many, many years. Because of God's strength and God's power and God's direction, Paul was invited out of the margins, from way out of the margins. In fact, persecuting the church, hunting down Christians and imprisoning them, men, women, and child, bringing them to death, I'm sure. God brought him from out of there and brought him into the main story. And now, many years later, as we're picking up Paul's story today, he's under arrest and he's being grilled by the local authorities, King Agrippa. And his crime was no more than being outside of their margins that they had set in their critical view of Christianity or of Jesus. They were looking down their noses at Paul because he had preached Christ. They were persecuting Paul. They were treating him terribly, and all Christians, really. And so you think, if Paul had his big opportunity, right? This was his chance to get in front of the king and tell him all the things that he's doing wrong to society or to Christianity. Give him a 1-2 punch about what Paul knew to be right and how this guy should get his act together and just get on board. But you know, it wasn't anything like that at all. Because Paul remembered who he was in the old days and how his life had changed. And he knew for sure that God had called him out of the margins and it has now instructed him and given him the story to tell others. In chapter 26 of the book of Acts, verse number 9, Paul is speaking and he says, "I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." You hear that? How far out of the margins? He thought he was part of the real story. Bringing people to death. "Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them." The hardline stance of Paul, of knowing in his mind, thinking that he was right in every way. But then verse 12 says this, "On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied." So what's going on here is that God came into Paul's life and redirected everything. He is bringing him out of the margins, and now he is telling Paul what's next. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show of you. I will rescue you from your own people and also those of the Gentiles." Paul could have used this opportunity to tell the people all the things that he thought they should do in order to get it right. But he did none of that because that isn't what God did to him. Jesus said, "You are persecuting me, but now get up. I've got something for you to do." Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8 and through 11, it says something like this, "How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news." I guess the encouragement I have for you today, folks, is to don't be like the old Roger and look down your spiritual nose at people who just ain't quite there yet. But instead, tell them the sweet, sweet story of Jesus Christ and how he took you from rags to riches, from the margins to the main story. Because that is what is going to change the world. It'll never be loud cries of what people are doing wrong. But it'll be calm, humble understanding that we were once lost, but now we're found because of our beautiful Savior. And now we have a beautiful story to tell. Folks, I pray that that's how it is for your day today. And as you go out there, that you're able to find those folks who are outside the margins. We'll be back here tomorrow morning on Friday, God willing. And so until then, take care, and we'll see you soon.